You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission released their Te Rōtira Wellbeing Report, which looks into the wellbeing of New Zealanders. With the COVID-19 pandemic going on, it's a good time to check in with how Kiwis are holding up. The report highlights many of the inequities in wellbeing faced by marginalised groups such as Māori, Pacifica and women. This morning, I spoke to the Commission's board chair, Hayden Wano, about the findings of the report, what they mean for the community, and how we can narrow our focus to help those who have suffered disproportionately. First of all, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission is releasing its first report on the wellbeing of Kiwis. Now, the Commission uses something called the He Ara Oranga framework to measure wellbeing and outcomes. How does this work?
So we developed the framework with people who have expertise in this field. So Sharon Shea, who chaired this committee, is also the chair of the Māori Health Authority. She helped design this alongside other people with expertise in this area, alongside people with lived experience, alongside whānau voice, and I say that within the inclusive sense, and also community voices. So there was a sort of a wellbeing approach as opposed to necessarily a system approach. So it came from the people rather than quite often these frameworks are developed from a system perspective. So it was very much of the people and for the people.
What are some key findings of the 2021 Te Rōtira Wellbeing Report?
So we've had to draw on information, which is a bit dated. Some of it goes back to 2018, and that comes down to the frequency in which some of this data is gathered. So it's not a complete report, but it was reinforced by the voices of the people, as I've described, people with lived experience, people from whānau and community. So that helped inform this report. So the key findings are basically saying, for some it's not a surprise, but for others it might be, that overall our general well-being is not too bad for people living in New Zealand, but there are some persistent, and this is a concerning, but there are some persistent and minority experiences that are of poor well-being. And it's not new to us. I mean, we know that the groups will go from, you refer to young people. We also talk about veterans, rainbow communities, Māori Pacific peoples, refugees and migrants, and children in state care and older people as well, rural, disabled people, people coming out of prisons and transitioning into community, and children who've had experienced adverse childhood events. So it's a report that acknowledges the good things that are happening in Aotearoa, but also recognises that there are certain groups where there's persistently poor well-being, and we haven't been able to find a way of shifting that situation for some time.
With these groups reporting worse well-being than the general country, what measures can we look to take for these groups and ensure significantly better outcomes in the future?
So I'm going to assume your word measures means two things. One, measure literally, how do we quantify a change? And two, what steps are we going to take to do something more about it? So the first step we would say is that we need to work very closely with these groups that are marginalised. And in doing so, allow success to be determined by what they see as success rather than what we might see as success. So as a commission, our job is to amplify the voices of the people, to give resonance to what they're saying, and to advocate in this particular way. So it's important that we, in doing so, ensure that if we're going to design something new, if we're going to do something differently, let's make sure that the people that are most affected should be involved in this process, right through to describing what success looks like.
In particular, how does Te Ao Māori fit into measuring and improving Māori wellbeing?
So, as you will see in the report, we had a specific specialist advisory group, of course, with whānau and people with lived experience having input into that report. And it showed that, one, there are some good things happening within our Māori community, and there are some positive trends. So there was a Te Ao Māori lens put on what wellbeing looks like. Now, we know that wellbeing is strongly correlated and grounded from a cultural perspective. So our intention is to broaden that scope over time. So we've got a shared view of what that looks like for Aotearoa, but we've also got a specific lens for Māori, and we will be doing likewise for other marginalised communities as we progress. So that's the intention, and that'll be part of working more closely so that we can hear very specifically from youth, you know, this is what we need, these are the environments we want to be in, these are the people we want to be able to relate to. So that's important. If we come back to the Māori lens, the positives is really the contribution of Māori to the economy, and we've seen that increase by 60% over the last 5 years. And when we talk about contributions to the economy, I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about jobs, employment, housing, you know, meaningful employment. So there's a good news story sitting within this challenging story, and we want to take advantage of that positive momentum and see it being replicated and broadened across a wider audience of our Māori communities.
Definitely looking at a brighter future.
I think this report should also give us hope. Yes, we can see where there are issues and they're not new to us, but we do need to take different approaches. And one of the things that we believe is quite important, government is making a lot of investments in health, in education, in welfare, in housing, and housing is a critical one. But there's no coherent plan about how this should work. So while we would be wanting to work closely alongside people that own these marginalised groups, we also want to see that and encourage and, if you like, facilitate a greater collaborative approach so that all of government's investments are much more coherent and coordinated and targeted towards these communities.
And now pivoting to kind of what is the most pressing issue that we always see in the news, how has COVID-19 impacted wellbeing this year?
Look, we know that, it's a bit of a story of two halves. We know that COVID has had quite a devastating effect on some individuals and some families. For some, it's been actually quite good. So we need to separate those two stories, and obviously we want to give attention where we think we need to do it most. And of course, those areas that we've already identified, those populations that we've already identified, have borne the brunt of COVID. We know for Māori and Pacific overall that COVID-19 has affected directly more cases and numbers there. We know that households, stepping away from that to specific, we know that households with incomes under 30,000 were most likely, people in those households were most likely to lose their income, their jobs, and those losses were greatly felt by Pacific peoples, Asian peoples, and also disproportionately women and people with disability, and also people with mental health diagnosis. So we know that there have been those effects, and there have been other effects, I think, for youth, particularly around psychological distress being increased because of uncertainty related to either job loss or to the educational situation and circumstances. So we know these are evident for us, and we know from previous experiences when we have something like a natural disaster that quite often there's a long tail behind how the population might be affected. So our attention will probably go towards those areas that we've already identified. We know that the information that we've got around data is inadequate and doesn't give us a complete picture. So we're wanting to work with government agencies to be able to try and get more real-time information so that we can get a deeper understanding of what's going on. But we know that there is an immediate response that's required. We know that some people have taken up, and loneliness has been quite a big issue, or isolation. So, you know, just our encouragement is for those that are feeling isolated, if there are ways of reaching out and connecting, that it's okay if you're not feeling great. It's okay to say so, and it's okay to put your hand up. Do things that make you feel good, you know, getting out and about or going for a swim where you can, obviously, within the traffic light system. But those are the bits of advice that we would give. But knowing that the effects on people's well-being, mental well-being, is here now, will be so in the future, and we'll be keeping a close eye on it over time.
That was Hayden Wano, Board Chair of the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, speaking to me about the Commissioner's recent wellbeing report and the steps we need to take to improve the outcomes for vulnerable communities in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.